T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The greatest love song of our time right here.
It's Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend, partying, partying.
Yeah! Partying, partying, partying. Oh, fun, man. Fun, fun, fun. Doesn't feel like Friday, does it? It's weird. How did this get here so quick? This has been a very fast week. It's Friday, Friday, Friday. All right. Welcome into your Friday. I'm happy to be here with you. 12:06 in St. Louis, Missouri. If you're over on the East Coast, you've already celebrated your Friday, but still, I'm glad we can do this here together. And why not? We keep things open for you at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. It came out earlier today. Amazon abruptly scrapping plans to build a major outpost in New York. When I heard that Amazon was splitting the campuses between two locations, originally they pitched it as a second headquarters, and part of the second headquarters meant that you were going to get 50,000 jobs, and it's going to be great. And every city rolled out the red carpet because they wanted that to happen in their city. They wanted all those jobs. They wanted that as a way to bring more economic development into their area. So places like St. Louis did everything they could possibly think of, every single little thing. And it wasn't enough. We didn't have what they were looking for. Well, we get passed up and we didn't get on a short list. And then we find out that it was leaked, the two locations they were choosing. They never said they were doing two, but they decided on that, was going to be between, was it Northern Virginia and like the Washington, D.C. area, and the other location was New York City. And because of that, I thought, boy, we dodge a bullet. What if St. Louis, who can't afford everything they were going to offer Amazon, at the same time couldn't afford not to offer Amazon everything they did? Because when are you going to have another chance like that? Imagine if they picked St. Louis in another location. They decided to split it. Imagine we rolled out the red carpet. All of our numbers were calculated based on 50,000 jobs, some of which would have been populated with the people here looking for jobs. But the amount of money that Amazon would have been paying the people here, these would have been high-paying jobs. This would have been much different than some of the warehousing jobs we see, because they already have some of that here in St. Louis. But we would have had high-paying jobs. 50,000 people, we probably would have retained and brought in talent, so we'd have brought more families into the area. It would have been an awesome thing. Now, imagine all of our calculations, and when they crunched all the numbers of what we could afford to do without actually losing money, and then we find out, well, actually, it's not 50,000 jobs, it's going to be 25,000, take it or leave it. Then we were going to be put in a terrible position where we were almost guaranteed to lose just so we could gain on the boost of high-paying jobs in the area. And I thought, boy, did we dodge a bullet, because that would have put us in a terrible position. And that's how I felt for New York and Virginia when they talked about that, the Northern Virginia and New York hubs. Yeah, they were all proposing based on 50,000 jobs, but that wasn't what's going to come to the area. So now Amazon, the divas they've been so diva-like, seriously. Now, we find out they don't pay taxes, you know, they get all of these other incentives and all of these things, and we're treating them like a diva, and we're doing everything we can to court them, and every city's doing everything they can. And now they pull this move on New York and say, well, I guess if you don't like us, where we're going to go, fine, leave, I'll see you later. At some point, you got to say, go to the door. You know, we're not putting up with this garbage any longer. And that's what the attitude New York should have. And that's the attitude they do have. Bill de Blasio said Amazon threw away an opportunity, saying you have to be tough to make it in New York City. They're not tough, he says. I like that. So I guess the headquarters is going to Virginia now. It doesn't look like they're going to be picking up or splitting between two locations. Maybe they're just all going to focus on Northern Virginia. Now, if you work in Washington, D.C., where it is already some of the highest cost to be a homeowner, where there's already constraints out there in order to try to find housing, it's incredibly expensive to live. You got to be a millionaire to live in some of these areas. And even then, you're slumming it up. I mean, it's insane how much wasteful spending goes into housing out there just because of everyone being so rich. Well, now add 50,000 jobs to that location. Good luck. Oh, they're in for a world of hurt. There's got to be a certain point where someone stands up to Amazon, all right? Someone just has to stand up to them and say, we'll do what we can, but you're going to have to stop pushing us around. You got to stop pushing us around. Because what happens if the Amazon bubble bursts? Then what happens? You got nothing to show for it. They're not paying the taxes and all of these things. They got nothing to show for it. So stop it. We got to cut this out, and we got to stop bending over every time Amazon comes around and says, we're doing everything we can. We're going to start kissing their shoes like they're the kings. Oh, real quick. Tammy calling in. Hey, Tammy, what's going on?
Yes, I got an idea for your show.
Yeah.
When you were describing the space heater and how you would save us $50.
Yeah, exactly.
The same output, it just popped in my mind. I thought, you are a frugal guy, and you could save us money all the time.
Oh, I know.
You could do it daily or once a week, like on Friday, and call it Ryan's frugal tip of the day or whatever.
Yeah.
And you could have it monetized.
Yeah, producer Mike says the tightwad tip. Now, you're not going to like my...
There you go. That's better.
No one's going to like my tips. That is actually a practical tip. So my tips are mostly going to be like... only order from the dollar menu. Never order soda anymore. You know, those are going to be my type of tips.
Or shop at Goodwill.
Shop at Goodwill. Buy used shoes.
Okay, well, then I guess that shoots my idea down.
No one's going to want to take my advice.
I like that, the tightwad tip. And then you get it sponsored, and we look forward to it, like maybe every Friday, right after midnight, your tightwad tip of the week.
Thanks, Tammy. Good to hear from you.
Yeah,
all right, bye. All right, the tightwad tip of the week. I'll think about it. I'm sure there's a lot of other useful tips I could find. I am very frugal. AccuWeather's going to be joining us next. Yes, we have some snow coming. How concerned should we be? It's Overnight America, KMOX. When I see your face, is this regular music or is this still Valentine's music? It's still kind of Valentine's-y. Overnight America continues here, and I like that tightwad tip. I got all kinds of different money-saving ideas for you. All kinds! Never throw shoes away. Just wear them for 4 or 5 years. Just saved you a bunch of money. All right, if you have some tightwad tips we could give on the show, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So we have a storm heading our way. AccuWeather meteorologist Matt Rindy, thanks for joining us here live on Overnight America.
Yeah, my tightwad tip, cancel Amazon.
Why cancel Amazon Prime?
Make it harder to go spend your money and spend it in town, but admit my wife, just click, and package after package arrives. It's too easy to spend your money that way, and you don't have a bill, and it's, make it harder to spend your money by going out to spend your money.
All right, how many packages do you have delivered to your house at any given week?
Anywhere from 3 to 5.
Whoa, that is a lot of purchases.
Yes!
What are you buying? Are you buying everything on Amazon?
I don't even keep track of it.
Whoa.
It's not my deal.
Well, you're in some trouble, man. All right, so we are anticipating some snow Friday here in St. Louis. Can you give us the latest of what you're seeing?
Yeah, later today. Hey, a little bit behind the curtain, we get a little new information just about now as we move through the overnight slash early morning hours. We'll look at some new activity. Looks like the best part of the snow and the worst part of the activity, or whatever, how you want to look at it, is going to slide to the south. That still means we're going to see some snow. We had 2 to 4 inches in the forecast originally. I think closer to 2, or maybe even less, especially if you're on the north side of town. We're probably going to see more like a coating to an inch in some of those far northern suburbs.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. So if you're south of St. Louis, how much farther south would you have to be concerned to see that 2 to 4?
Oh, not too much further south.
Okay.
I mean, probably just outside, or mostly outside the suburbs. Of the southern suburbs, we'll probably still have a good 2 to 4 inches there.
Okay, but if you're actually in the city or you're north of the city, then things are actually looking a little bit better right now.
That is correct.
Ooh, so closer to 2, maybe even less than.
Yes, that is correct.
What was the cause of the change? Do you know what made that happen?
This particular storm is a lot of subtleties with it, so even just a small shift makes that much of a difference. There's a very narrow area of concern overall with this storm. It's going to be probably a 1 to 200 wide swath of snow that's extending from the Dakotas into Nebraska, northern east Kansas.
You know what I want to do? I basically want to go to the roof of the building and taunt Canada. You miss me. You miss me.
You think that'll work? The cold air is coming, though.
Oh, so they're still going to get us on the back slap or whatever.
Yeah, they'll get you there.
All right, so forget about the giant concerns with driving now. Before, when they were worried about maybe 4 inches of accumulating snow on the roadways, maybe the drive home on Friday evening would have been really bad. But now it doesn't seem like it's going to be as concerning.
Well, not as concerning. I'm always skeptical of during these lighter events, so sometimes people take less care in their driving, and so accidents occur because of carelessness. It is going to be very cold. It's going to be 25 while it is, you know, for a high for the day while it's snowing, so it's going to accumulate readily. So I would always exercise caution in any event where you're driving and there's a little bit of snow on the ground.
So still, when it gets that cold, sometimes the treatment's not as effective. Even though they are out there working on them, it means that it still could be very slippery.
That is the case. And not every place gets treated as equally right away. And so, you know, you could have some secondary roads or surfaces or sidewalks that also maybe not ready for the snow as it arrives.
So the temperatures are going to stay the same. It's just the snowfall is changing.
That's correct.
Oh, okay. Well, does that mean any change in some of the snow we saw perhaps on Sunday?
Again, that system looks like it's about the same, I would say. It's probably, you know, an inch, maybe 2, depending on the track of the system, but it looks pretty quiet.
You gave us some really good news here. This is some breaking news.
Closer
to under 2. Because everyone was prepared. I was looking online, and people were posting photos from the National Weather Service in places and saying, make sure you leave work early, and it's going to be like it was like a month ago on that one Friday when we saw all that snow come down at the same time.
Uh-oh.
And it's like, no, people were acting like we were going to see another storm like that hit.
I don't think. Oh yeah, no. That storm was.
People were going crazy though.
Yeah, that was. Oh my gosh, I remember talking to you about it when it was coming.
I know. Scary.
That was an impressive system. This one is not nearly as. So it's diving. You know, it's a north to south moving system. And that one was a west to east moving system. It had less moisture to work with. This one has very little moisture to work with. It has to almost generate its own.
You hear that, Canada? You don't impress me much. What is this stuff? All right, so what are the odds that between now and maybe the morning, something else changes?
I think very little. You know, when we get this close, I mean, a slight shift northward could make the difference, but I think we have a pretty good idea that this will, you know, be a lesser event than we once thought.
Okay. And the farther south we go into Illinois, places like that, where are some of the concerning spots there?
Farther into Illinois?
Well, and because when we go south of St. Louis, and you're talking about maybe 2 to 4 still, we're seeing on the south side of St. Louis. Is that just going to continue on to the east, or is there a certain point where we're not really going to have to worry about it over on that side?
The orientation of the storm is actually an east-southeast direction of movement. So, yeah, it'll all keep kind of sliding south and east into Illinois.
Oh, it's a southeast, so it's not really sliding from west to east. It's a southeast.
Yep, that is correct.
The further south you go, I see how that goes now. It's sliding down.
Yeah.
It's like one of those giant carnival slides. You hit your, you get yourself into a burlap sack and you just start sliding down as fast as you can. I am happy that we're not going to see all this snow. My wife is not that happy. She was excited because I'd only do the Sunday through Thursday night show. I would have been home. I'm going to start a fire in the fireplace tomorrow night. She wanted to see all the snow come down.
Well, there'll be snow. Just won't be as much.
What
the fire will still be nice.
Like, what time does it actually start snowing?
I think around 2 to 3 o'clock.
Okay, in the afternoon?
Yep.
And how long does it last?
Through the night, probably up until about 3 or 4 a.m.
Oh, so 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, we hit 4 o'clock rock, and then 5 o'clock, they start driving home. By that time, are they even going to have a half an inch? Or not? It's going to be way less than that at that point.
I believe it'll be something that coats the ground maybe as much as an inch. Again, farther south and west, better chance for that inch of coverage.
By 5 o'clock, you think?
Yeah, I mean, the covering, you know, it doesn't take long. Okay. To get a covering going. Again, watch for slippery travel. Just be careful, please. Yeah.
How's Montana looking? Glasgow, Montana.
Why Glasgow?
We did that one time. Glasgow was like 20-some below. So I'm curious how they're doing tonight.
They're cold. Always cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. It's minus 12.
Yeah. What, you said they're 12 right now?
12 below.
12 below. Oh,
yeah. Ugh.
Why are they is this just typical for them? 12 below at the nights, man.
I mean, Canada is just right up there.
I know.
You know?
Their heating bill's got to be insane.
To
heat a house like that.
They're not getting any higher than the teens for the next 10 days.
Man. I'm sorry, Montana. All right, well.
For many reasons.
All right, good to know the update there. So just a recap here for Matt Rindy, AccuWeather meteorologist. Now, the latest projections show, if you're in the St. Louis metropolitan region here, you're looking at closer to 2 inches or less southern part of this downtown area. You still have a chance of 2 to 4 inches, and we're still going to see the same timeline of when the storm's coming through. So, hey, that's a good update.
I like to give good updates.
you would hope to. Like, yes. You have control over it. I forgot you guys have the controlling,
yes.
the big machine there that controls it all.
Yeah. Right. Wedding planners would be flocking to us.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, my gosh. I'd make so much money.
Are there any weathermen superheroes?
I cannot think of anybody. Nobody in particular where I would say, oh, boy, I wish I... like them.
Yeah, it's kind of, it seems like not the most glorious.
I should say my boss is somebody I look up to very much.
Aww.
You hear that, Marshall? You're my favorite.
Who's your boss?
His name's Marshall.
Marshall who?
Marshall Moss.
Marshall Moss.
Oh, yes.
Okay. That's a, Moss is kind of like a weather-related thing, isn't it? It kind of fits a little with the AccuWeather.
You're trying. Yeah.
This might be a stretch. Matt Rindy from AccuWeather, thank you so much for coming on here, Overnight America.
You bet. My pleasure.
That's fun. Yeah, Moss is kind of weather-related. Like, it's outdoors, and you see it on the forest and things like that. So, cool. If you're in the downtown or metropolitan area, it looks like you're only going to see closer to 2 inches or less, maybe in the 1 to 2 inch range. And by 5 o'clock, it might only be an inch as opposed to, well, the upper end before they were calling for 4 inches. But we're only going to see that mainly way south of St. Louis. So, woo! I feel pretty good about that. Good news. Good news. What are you shaking your head for? That's great news. You don't like the snow. Producer Mike's, he's in the other room right now checking out Google Maps. He's trying to find out where he's going to go be the cleanup hitter. And figure out where his next step's going to be. Oh, you and our most single bachelor in St. Louis could have gone out tonight. You and Scott could have been out there. Man, you two would have been a duo that no one could stop. Do I need to come up with more tightwad tips for next week? I'll try to find some. Maybe I'll do that for you. Coming up, I got an interview. Raising humans in a digital world. How about the little humans, the kids? How do you manage their digital devices and how they handle themselves online? It's a pretty big problem. Privacy issues, predators, addiction. Diana Graber is going to be joining us next on Overnight America, KMOX. Love that we're playing these songs. I really like it. Straight to my lover's heart for me. Cupid.
hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me.
And joining us now is the author of the new book, Raising Humans in a Digital World, Helping Kids Build a Healthy Relationship with Technology, author Diana Graber. Thank you so much for coming on to KMOX.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Raising humans, raising tiny humans, too. It's a weird world they're going to grow up in. It's a completely different way to grow up than when I was growing up, even. And my son is 4, and it's you can already tell that if there's a opportunity for him to use the iPad to FaceTime with the grandparents who live without a state, man, he takes every opportunity he can get. Those things are so addictive.
You know, they really are. I mean, they have addictive qualities for sure, and it is a different world. I mean, you know, when we were growing up, there weren't these bright, shiny objects that could connect us with the whole world, you know, on every table and every pocket. So, I mean, we have to adapt to it and have a completely different parenting style.
Yeah, and that has changed a lot of ways people handle their parenting with their children. And it's got to also, I guess, the ways they learn, too. Just now we're starting to teach our son how to read. And there's so many different resources for learning that's out there. Some of them want you to do apps. There's this one book we're using. It's like Learn How to Read in 100 Lessons. It's a pretty popular one. But there's people, like parents will just go to apps. They'll say, here, I'm just going to turn you over to this app. And I'll let you do your parenting from there. I'll let you learn whatever you need, and you'll be good. It's almost like they treat it as a hands-off solution sometimes.
Yeah, and that's something I really write a lot about in the book. I address the whole first section to people like you that have the younger kids, and I call it building a strong foundation. And I really argue that, you know, while there's a lot of really wonderful things that come to us via our devices and wonderful learning apps, et cetera, you know, those early years are so foundational as far as building interpersonal skills and face-to-face communication skills and the ability to read emotions and feel empathy and all those really important things that really can't be learned from a screen. And, you know, I think once a child develops those really strong social behavioral skills, they'll take those wonderful skills into the online environment, and it'll really serve them well when they start interacting with faceless others, with people with different positions or beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know, they really need those skills, and I argue that they're best learned face-to-face.
Yeah, and then when the kids get older, right now, Fortnite's very popular. They'll sit and they can play a game for a long time. And it'll suck them in. You know, hours is like a short session in when you're playing games like that. But it's the same thing that all their friends are playing. It's almost like it's socially but unsocial at the same time because they're not doing it together. But it's something because they're all playing the same game. And hours could pass by and you wouldn't even see your kid. You wonder, oh, they got to be upstairs playing the game or something like that. It just sucks them in there, too. It doesn't matter what age.
Right. And, you know, like you said, I mean, there's some wonderful things about connecting online with your friends. I mean, that's where friendships are happening, especially for young boys. But the thing about devices is they're built to capture and hold our attention. Fortnite does a great job at that because it's really hard to walk away in the middle of a Fortnite game because you've got teammates depending on you. But I think it's important to, you know, point those things out to children to show them the addictive qualities that the devices have built into them so that they can start understanding how they like to hold on to their attention. Because once kids understand that, they become a little more mindful of it. I mean, no kid likes to be controlled, whether it's by a parent or a device. But you do have to point out to them how the devices are taking their time.
Yeah. So have you played Fortnite before?
I have.
Oh, what'd you think?
It's fun. I can see what kids like about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I were younger and I had all my friends on Fortnite, I think it would be really, really hard for me to walk away from it.
From the book Raising Humans in a Digital World, the new book out now, you can check out from Diana Graber. Well, I wanted to talk to you about setting the boundaries. So how do you even set these things up with a kid so it's not a fight when you say, turn it off?
Right. Well, there's a few ways to do this, and it's really dependent upon age. And one thing that I point to in the book are the age suggestions by the American Academy of Pediatrics. So those are outlined for every age of the child. And, you know, I think as parents, we have to remember that that kids like guidelines and boundaries, and it's our job to set those up, especially like we just talked about, when the devices are so good at holding on to their attention. So, you know, they still recommend for children 18 months and younger, no screens at all. The recommendation for kids 18 months to 2 years is that if you want to introduce your child to a screen, make sure you do it together with your child and that you explain things with them as they're doing them. And then they stayed away from actual time limits for older children, but they do recommend that it should never interfere with the daily basics of life, such as eating, sleeping, having dinner with your family, getting homework done. And that's where our kids need boundaries so that they get those other essentials in.
You see the new big game everyone's talking about, Tetris 99?
Yeah, oh my gosh, don't even get me started on that one. I used to be a big Tetris fan.
I know. I remember when the Game Boy came out, it was the only reason my parents would allow us to get one because my mom liked Tetris. And it was that's because the only reason we bought one in the household, we had to fight her for game screen time. You know?
I know. Well, it just goes to show you, things really haven't changed, honestly. The devices are changing and they're getting better and there's more of them, but it's still the basic parenting things. We still have to set boundaries for our kids, help kids understand what the rules are, help them have a healthy life, and that means balancing all the things they do, their screens and their non-screen time.
Yeah, and we want our kids to be good. We want our kids to do good. We want them to be put into situations and come out ahead where they don't feel like they have to buckle into the pressure. And technology makes it difficult for that because there's so many outside influences. There's so many predators and different people that are trying to hassle them. And then there's their other classmates that may be cyberbullying them, things like that. How do you talk to a kid about those sort of pressures that are also there in technology?
Well, I talk about that a lot in the book as well. In addition to the book, I have a program called Cyber Civics, and it's a digital media literacy program that we teach in schools all over the United States. But basically, it covers all those topics, cyberbullying, predators, online privacy, your online reputation. And, there's a lot a kid has to know. I mean, the online world is super complex. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important to carve out time, whether it's with your family or in school, to talk about these different parts of online interactions. You can't really throw your children to the wolves with this stuff when they're too young. Mm-hmm. That's another reason to kind of wait till they're older, especially if you're going to let them use social media where they're interacting with others and they may encounter cyberbullying. I have some smaller activities in the book called Cyber Civic Moments, mm-hmm. and they're family activities that families can do together to teach their children about cyberbullying and privacy and reputation and all those things. So I really suggest that both families and schools make time for this.
My goodness, maybe the parents will learn a thing or two about privacy, too, all the things that are posted on there. What's the right age, really, to not only have these talks, but I know that there's going to be kids in the class, and the kid, your son or daughter's going to come home and say, well, little Johnny's got the access to the Facebook, or little Johnny's got the smartphone, why can't I have it, too? And you may think it's a little early for them to have it. That seems like those conversations are going to come up a lot, pretty much in every kid's growing stages. So what is the right age to start talking to them about this, and what's the right age to give them permission to do things like social media?
Well, you're right. Very young parents are going to start hearing everybody has one. And I think it's important for parents to remember, that's a kid talking, so not everyone's going to have one, right? But secondarily to that, the time to talk about this stuff is the minute you put a connected device in their hand. And that talk should happen often and early. But as far as what is the right age, it's important to remember that nearly every social media network out there, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, all of those, require users to be at least 13 years of age to use the app. Mm-hmm. And that's really important because a lot of kids will sign up earlier. It's super easy to do. They just have to give a fake birth date. And any kid, 9-year-olds, can do that very mm-hmm. easily. But, there's a lot of good reasons to wait to 13, number one, because that's the rule. And number two, it really takes that long for a child to build their ethical thinking skills, and those skills are really needed when they go online.
Yeah. If someone wants to check out some of these topics you cover in Raising Humans in a Digital World, where can they find the book?
It's available everywhere books are sold. Probably the easiest way is just Google it, and, you can find it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and all those good booksellers.
Love it. Kids, and I love schools that incorporate into projects like blogs or vlogs or podcasts and things like that. It's kind of fun to see kids try the creative side of the internet But you got to be careful there, too, because as soon as they start creating content, that's where it seems to draw the attention from people you don't want to draw attention from. So how can you encourage them to be creative and do things online and at the same time make sure that their privacies are paramount?
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up because, you know, a lot of times parents will worry about the dangers and forget about all the positive uses. And you're right, there's wonderful creative things that kids can do online, and they are doing online. But again, you know, what I caution is just to wait till your children are a little bit older to do it with them so you know what they're doing and you can kind of guide them online and give them your wisdom that's so needed. And then also, you know, really talking to them throughout the year so that they understand, you know, the consequences to their reputation or to their privacy or to anything else before they start using these wonderful apps and tools that are available online.
I don't think they think about consequences. I mean, many adults don't think about the consequences to the things they post, too. That's difficult to try to convey an idea of permanency to a child.
It's really, really hard, and that's the, one of the lessons I have in the book, and it's a shorter version of what we do in the classroom, is that rather than lecture a child, I recommend doing case studies and scenarios with them. And so I have a little game in there that we can that parents can do with their children where they observe how others have acted online and you evaluate their digital reputation. So it's kind of like stepping back and seeing the consequences of someone else's actions. And I think that's really powerful because you're right, kids don't think consequences often. And the way it is when you're online, you do things in the moment because it's exciting and you take a picture and you post it. And so this, the activities that I offer in the book help families know how to, you know, kind of counterbalance that and give their kids some tools so that hopefully they'll think before they do something they regret online.
I know. All right, so the book is out called Raising Humans in a Digital World. You can find it everywhere. Do a search for it or you can look on Amazon. Author Diana Graber, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you so much and good luck with your own family.
Aw, thank you. She joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. She's very pleasant. Yeah, there's a lot of issues that have come forward in the most recent decade and a half that were they just weren't there when I was growing up. So it's a new experience for a lot of people. You know, we're going to keep the phone lines open for you. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Wait a minute, I thought we were doing love songs tonight. Producer Ben, is this your favorite Valentine's Day song too?
Late one night, when my eyes began,
I should have known.
An eerie sight, for my monster from his lab began.
Your favorite Valentine's Day song, wow.
To my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
Wow. Producer Ben comes back and said, well, if we're doing Valentine's Day songs, he's going to play his favorite.
From my laboratory in the castle east, the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
I got to admit, I mean, it's a pretty romantic song if you think about it.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
Wow. Welcome back to Overnight America. We haven't pulled that gag in a long time. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
First of all, Ben is telling you that he loves that song.
Yeah, he says not only is it his favorite song, but it's the right song for just about every holiday. I mean, okay. He plays it Halloween. He plays it 4th of July. He plays it President's
Day. Well,
Thanksgiving
would be mashed potatoes.
Plays right? Thanksgiving. Every occasion he has a chance to play it, he will.
Hey, first of all, it wasn't Karl Rove, it was Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, I got an email from someone that messaged me about that, too. So that Rumsfeld quote, it's a when you go back and look at it, there's a lot of wisdom in what he was saying, but he was mocked pretty heavily for saying it.
There's wisdom, but I keep forgetting how it goes. But anyway, the main reason I'm calling is the woman who was saying, give some tips, but don't mention Goodwill. That's one of the biggest tips I could give her.
What, shop at Goodwill?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Goodwill.
Also, know where the clearance areas are in various stores.
Oh, and go straight to them.
Exactly. I mean, if I'm going in one direction, and I generally, you know, when I go travel, like go to the store or whatever, I'll line it up so I'm going about five or six different places at the same time, if I have the time.
So you're going to live cheap with me. You're just like me. You look for the best deals.
You. Listen to this. I use a credit card that has, like, you know, 1% payback on it.
Yeah.
And I have several of them that way. And one of them is a Walmart card,
mm-hmm.
Walmart MasterCard. So it gives me an excuse to go to Walmart.
Okay.
And it also gives me an excuse to look at their clearance area.
Mm-hmm. Are you exclusively buying things on the clearance rack?
Oh, the last several times I've been in there, yes. No, get this. So anyway, well, I mean, because I'm just there to pay the bill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that way I'm saving postage, too. But anyway, you know, Cheerios, family size.
40 cents.
Well, it's 55 now.
Is it 55 now? Yeah.
Anyway, an 18-ounce box of Cheerios. Now, my local grocery store has it for like $3.99.
Mm-hmm.
They had it $2.78 marked down to $2.08.
Uh-huh.
So I picked that up. I mean, it crushed a little bit. Okay, and that's one thing. Dented cans, crushed boxes, something that's out of date for a few days. You know, some instances even a couple months, depending upon what you're buying. That's no big deal.
Wow.
And they also had paint, Krylon paint, 25% more, so it's 15 ounces there. And it's regularly $3.96 for $2.
What are you doing with that paint?
Now, wait a minute. Rust-Oleum. I'll find a use for it. regularly $4.96 for $2.50. Okay?
Wait, are you just buying things because sale?
No. I will use this. I promise you I will use it
okay.
in the near future. But here's the thing. I go up to the register, and the Cheerios got marked up the way it was. The paint, both of them were marked down to $1 each.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the beauty of the thing. Well, beauty and inconvenience at the same time for me. Guy standing in front of me with his wife here must have looked at what I was buying and thought that, well, you know, I must be destitute or something, doesn't understand this is my game plan. because he says, how are you? I said, I'm okay. And you know, he was buying like ice cream, you know, like Haagen-Dazs, you know, uh-huh. ice cream, all kinds of, and before he leaves, he slaps a $20 bill on the conveyor and says, that's for you. I said, no, I don't want this. And he's walking away.
Slaps a 20 down.
And so serious. And I said, I don't want this, sir. I don't need it. I don't need it. And I wasn't going to chase him down because I'm paying for my grocery, you know. But I'm telling the clerk there, I said, you know, I'm going to have to figure out what charity to give this to.
Wow, Tom. I mean, so
my point is,
it's just a hodgepodge of stuff you're throwing up there. He doesn't quite know how to calculate all that together and figure out your strategy, like you said. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. Somebody who, you know, if you want to inconvenience yourself, you can save a lot of money. And by inconvenience yourself, I mean, you know, buy what's cheap, buy what's on sale, when something's on sale, I mean, I purchased at one time 150 cans of pink salmon.
150 cans at one time?
At one time.
You filled up the whole cart?
I checked with the company and called them, and I said, you know, how long will this last? And they said, like, 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I bought a lot because the store I was buying it from offered you discounts on gas purchases that they were affiliated with. In fact, the same store, and I think it's regional, it's called Giant Eagle.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, they also had a tie-in with gas stations, and they have gift cards. So if you bought $50 worth of gift cards or any you know, gift card, it would be 20 cents off on 30 gallons of gas.
Mm. So you're just trying to find like ways to combo.
I ended up paying $8.97 for 30 gallons of gas.
Wow.
Because I bought some home improvement stuff.
All right, so you're always looking. Are you, every time the circulars come out, you're always searching for whatever the deal is?
I am calling stores and telling them I didn't get their flyers because I'll take the grocery flyers and I'll line them up and there are some stores that where even if it's the same store,
you'll call
name,
the stores
one yeah. offered a lower price than the other one.
Oh hey, I
now,
didn't
again,
get your
I don't
circular.
Go out of my way for it.
Oh my goodness!
But I plan my you know. And by the way, you can also find that a lot of these stores will have. I mean, Walmart's a good example. They will have a rack of baked goods,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day that they just made too much of.
Yeah.
And they'll discount those.
I'll check that out, too.
A lot of stores will do that.
Yeah. Sometimes you can get the cheap full-cooked chickens there, too, after a certain point.
And that's not just Walmart. It's other stores.
Yeah. All right, Tom, we got to go. But thanks for all the tips there.
You can save an awful lot of money.
I know you. Hey, good tips. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, it's a tightwad club.
All right, have a good weekend. Bye.
Take care, Ryan.
The tightwad club. Tightwad club for men. I don't think women shop like that. I think it's only guys that say, I'm going to go straight to the discount rack. I'm going to go buy 100 cans of pink salmon. And maybe if I'm lucky, I'll find some use for this cheap paint I just happened to find. Such a guy thing. Oh, my wife would never allow me to get away with that. All right, one more hour of Overnight America. And let's have fun with it. If you want to talk about anything, we keep the phone lines open on that last show of the week, and it's the last hour of the last show. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on KMOX. I do it for
you. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.